Well, hi, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I've been so extraordinarily blessed over the course of my career to meet some fascinating and super successful people, and now I get to bring those conversations to you. So I hope you enjoy, I hope you listen, and I hope we can learn along the way together. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Joanne. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, I'm truly honored. Oh, well, thank you. No, it's an honor for us to have you. This is truly one of the best parts of my day when I get to do these. And someday when I look back on my career, I know that this podcast and this ability to be able to get to sit with people like you that I've known throughout different parts of my career and be able to just share ideas and best practices and find out a little bit more about the human side of our guests that have you've been seen as in the business world as a success in your life. And now I like to kind of peel back some of the layers and see more of the human side. So we'll get to all of that. But in the meantime, for everybody that doesn't know you, why don't you give a little bit of your bio, where you're at currently, and then what got you there? What was your path to get to Cornerstone?
Sure. Great question. Right now, I'm currently the Vice President at Cornerstone Senior Marketing. But prior to that, it's funny, when just listening to some of your other podcasts, you know, when you talk to a lot of people, they say, you know, they're in insurance because maybe it was a family member or something like that. For me, I had no family in the insurance business. And that's probably the abnormal one here, because I did a project my senior year in high school, and it was on drunk driving and insurance, what it does to your insurance rates. I don't know why I did it on that, but I did. And then I actually just took an interest in it. And then after I graduated from high school, when I was going to college, I got into the insurance business. I was working part-time, just processing health insurance claims. And my major, I was going to Ohio State. So I was working and going to school at the same time. And they had a program, was insurance and risk management. So I graduated from Ohio State with a business degree with a specialization in insurance and risk management. So I've always wanted to be in the insurance business. And after graduating, I went on to work for Nationwide Insurance. Again, just on the health insurance side, processing health insurance claims. And my goal was always to get into the property and casualty side. That was always what had interested me. And I just had a hard time getting into that side of the business for whatever reason. But I ended up taking a sales role within Nationwide for the individual and small group health products.
Okay.
And it moved my family. I was from Columbus originally, but moved my family down to the Cincinnati area and took the sales role. And what was kind of unique with me is, I mean, I was a very shy, very backward person then. And for me to take a sales role was completely out of the box for me. And I mean, it worked out well. I mean, it was just because I just, you know, again, just facing my fears and that, but was working at Nationwide and then decided I wanted to become an insurance agent. And so I left Nationwide. I was there for about 10 years, went over to an independent insurance agency and was selling P&C, property and casualty, on the home and auto, and then also on the commercial side. But I started to get back into the group health and the individual, and that's how I was introduced to Cornerstone. And because we used to run our group business through Cornerstone at the time. Cornerstone just did under 65 and group health. And then about 5 years into the P&C, it was not necessarily the right fit. I was very successful in everything, but it's like I really wanted to get back on the health side of things and that. So took a position over at Cornerstone, had actually been there now for about 14 years, and it's just been a wild ride, but it's been awesome.
Yeah, nice. And it brought us as partners several years ago, working with some different carriers and different partnerships. And now, through the magic of Integrity, we are actual partners as well.
Couldn't be happier.
Absolutely. So a couple of the things that you said stuck out to me. You talked about your senior paper was on, you know, drunk driving and insurance. It for some reason reminded me, and I haven't thought of this in 100 years, but my college, one of my big research papers was on the crash test dummies. Do you remember that
when
first came out? That was, I remember I did a whole course back then when I was in college. It wasn't internet and all of that. It was, you know, the poster boards and spreadsheets and all of that. But you made me think of that. I remember doing a big old thesis on the crash test dummies and how it came about and why they did it and what the outcome of some of their research and some of their advertising was. So that's pretty funny to think about that again. And something else you said that's gosh, we could unpack this all day is, you know, you felt like your personality didn't lend itself to being a salesperson for whatever reason, but you faced that fear and overcame that and wanted to become that. Why is that? Why did you feel that sales was the way to go? And why did you feel like you could tear through that wall of fear? That's pretty big.
Well, it's and I appreciate that. And I'll just give you a little background too. So I married my high school sweetheart, and she's been totally my rock, and she's been my biggest supporter. And nice. For her to tell me, hey, you can do this, you can do this. And for us to pack up, we had a small child at the time, and he was 2 years old, and to pack up and go to a city we knew didn't know anybody at all, and to a role that I was really completely out of my comfort zone, with her support, it really helped me, you know, hey, I can do this. And it's like, it worked out, you know, and I owe a lot to her, you know, for that.
That's awesome. That's that blind faith, right? Of just trusting somebody sometimes. And it is kind of funny that you say that, because she saw things in you that maybe you didn't. That's a good lesson, I think, for all of us. You know, we probably all have those people in our life, or I hope we do. We all have those cheerleaders, as I call them, that that think we can, you know, climb mountains and you know, jump over buildings and all of that. So when you have that in your life, that's pretty special, because pretty soon you start believing it, right?
Yeah.
So how long then were you in actual sales, like face to face with a client?
Well, as an insurance agent, I did it for 5 years. Okay. And then I decided to take a different path at that point.
Yeah. But yeah. Do you feel like that helps you in your role now? You're talking to agents, they're talking to somebody who's, you know, walked in their shoes, if you will, even if it was a different product or a different time, but just kind of having that knowledge of sitting across the table from a client.
I do. I mean, it's if anyone says sales is easy, it wasn't easy for me, but it was something pushed through. But to be able to say, hey, I sat in your chair before, I understand, a lot of empathy there. But yeah, again, a lot of things I learned throughout that process, which I was able to share and help other agents and continue to do today.
Right. Oh, that's exciting. So walk us through a little bit about what Tim's doing after 5 o'clock. So I know you have lots of hobbies, lots of activities, lots of sports, but walk us through if you could describe a perfect day, what would a perfect day look like for Tim?
Well, the perfect day is when I come home is, you know, obviously I have dinner with my family. And then, I'm a big outdoorsman. I love to fish. Our house now, we've got an acre and a half pond, and usually I'm turning the radio up, I'm sitting in a paddle boat, and I'm just going around just fishing, and it just relaxes me. But
that's the best.
I enjoy it, but just anything outdoors. I mean, it's even just talking with friends or family outdoors by a bonfire, or if I'm outside, I'm happy.
Yeah, isn't that funny? So did you grow up that way? Would you grow up on a farm or being outside a lot?
No, I actually grew up in the city, but one of the most inspirational people in my life was my grandmother, and she lived out in the country. So we would spend the summers with her. She would take us fishing. She would let us do pretty much anything. But I mean, she knew what, you know, what we could do, what we couldn't do. But I really enjoyed it. And she actually did the stuff with us, too.
And awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's so sweet that you say that, too, because that's, I hope, you know, I had that with my grandmother, my one grandmother. My kids had that with my parents. Now I'm a grandparent, so I'm hoping that role, you know, is so special. And so you have no idea the impact that you're having you know, as a parent, you're kind of in the heat of the moment, right? You know, your kids are older now too, but when they're little and you're trying to get them to school, to after school, to homework, to bath, to bed, to wake up, to do the same thing all over again, it's, you kind of get lost in, you're not really thinking about, you know, am I teaching them something, or am I, you know, am I a good role model? As a grandparent, where everything kind of slows down when you're with these kids, I don't have to worry about getting them to school on time. I don't have to worry about, they can go to bed whatever time they want in my house, right? So we can kind of slow down a little bit. And I remember I asked my mom one time, so my parents, I grew up on a farm, and then my parents still lived there until they passed. And my kids got the luxury of being able to go up there, and they'd spend, like you said, a week or two every summer, or two or three different times throughout the summer with them. And whenever my mom would call or the kids would check in, everybody was happy and having a great time. And oh, they had this activity and this activity, and everybody's just laughing. And finally, one time I said to my mom, I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I never hear about them crying, fighting, you know, getting on each other's nerves. You seem happy. She said, well, Joanne, you've got to remember, this is when they were little again. She said, Joanne, you got to remember, when they're with you, they're on your schedule. So everybody's looking at the clock. Everybody's got to get something done so they can get to the next step.
Right. Right.
She said, when they're with us, we're on their schedule. You know, if Brandon, my son, her grandson, and Papa want to go count cows for an hour, they can just go in the truck and go count cows for an hour. And, yep. And it doesn't matter. So it's so poignant that you bring up your grandmother, because I think that is something that's so important as parents. And then as grandparents, that she didn't realize what she was teaching you. I bet she was just living her life, thought you would enjoy doing what she enjoys. And then look at all the lessons and the,
wouldn't change
education. Yeah. You never know where you're going to be learning, right? There's always so much that you can pick up, especially from grandparents. We were just back from a trip recently where we got to go over to Germany. And one of the things that we've always remarked about anytime we've been in Europe is that the family nucleus there is mm-hmm. still like what it was when I was itty bitty of, you know, all the families live right next door to each other or in the same house. They all have Sunday dinner together. They all do, you know, take care of each other, support each other. It's still a village, if you will. And I think as Americans and we're busy and we're going, you know, 100 miles an hour, I think sometimes some of that, the next generation, I think sometimes gets a little lost in that. We're all so busy.
It definitely does. I'll tell you, there's a song. It's one of my favorite songs out today. I love country music.
Yep.
And it's by Cody Johnson. It says, Till You Can't.
Till You Can't. Okay. I'll have to look that up.
If you never listen to it, it basically says you can put off, it's basically saying you can put off different things until you can't. So if like one of the lines is you can put off going fishing with your dad until you can't. So if he's no longer around, so it kind of, to me, it puts things in perspective. Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah, I really don't really want to do this, but you know, my mom or my brother or my kids or, you know, whoever, they really want to do this. So it's like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do it just because, you know, tomorrow's never guaranteed. You don't know what's going to happen. Uh-huh. So, yeah, take a listen to it. It's one of my favorite songs.
I wrote that down. I'm going to listen to that as soon as this is over. There's a lot of good lessons in some of those country songs, isn't there? So you always, Tim, as long as I've known you, and I think it's just embedded in your personality, but always kind of have that glass half full positivity. You have a light that you bring into a room. Where does that come from? And how do you continue to kind of fuel that? Is it books? Is it music? Is it sitting on the boat? You know, what fuels you so that you can walk back in and fuel others?
Well, I mean, to me, I'm a real positive person. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. And I don't like negativity. It's mm-hmm. something that just, you know, it brings you down. And it's like, I want to be happy. I mean, if you see me laughing, you'll typically see me laughing or, you know, smiling or whatever, just because I like to have fun. And that really is what fuels me. It's like doing activities that I enjoy, being around people I enjoy, meeting new people. I also enjoy that as well, but that's really what fuels me. And, again, the negativity, it doesn't have a place for me, you know?
Do you find it hard in this industry or in this world or your community or whatever that, because there is so much negativity, there's so many things that we could look at in our own industry that are out of our control, you know, CMS guidelines or carrier pulling a product or, you know, we're always in the middle of, you know, between carrier and agent and there's not a lot of things that we can control about our business, unfortunately. How do you just continue to find that positivity when sometimes, you know, there's things happening around us that are out of our control that maybe aren't so positive?
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, I'll say one thing. It's nobody likes change. Everyone, like, you get in a comfort zone and it's like nobody likes change. But if you think about it, change is what creates opportunity. And if you're not willing to change, that you're going to miss out on opportunities. And so it's whether you like it or not, this is what it is. What can we do to make the best of this situation? You know, we're just going through the new CMS guidelines for this upcoming year. And we've already done some webinars on it, but it's like, it's not great, but it's okay. What can we do? How can we get our age? Because our agents got to buy into it. They have to, you know, they're the ones that have to abide by it as well. So it's like, we're going to give the tools, the technology, we're going to help them through this. And, you know, this will create new opportunities for us and more agents will want to work with us and hopefully create new opportunities for agents to sell more business too. So
there you go. That's a great way to look at it. I wish everybody had that frame of mind.
Not easy, but it's
not easy. It's not easy. So where are the kids at now? Do you still have some at home?
I do not. So I've got Anthony is the oldest. He's 29. And then my youngest is Alex and he is 20, he'll be 26 in June. So they're both out of the house. We're empty nesters now, but, I'm happy because they're off the payroll, they're on their own and they're living their life and, seeing them happy makes me happy. So,
So are they close by or where are they located?
They're both in Columbus as well. So,
are they?
Yeah,
that's the best.
We're all close together. So.
That is the best.
It's good.
You mentioned that this is in many times a family business or a family industry. Many of our businesses are. But everybody always asks me about my kids and, you know, why maybe they didn't follow. And I suppose if I'm honest, there's a part of me that would have loved that if one of them would have followed in my path. But like you, they're doing what they wanted to do. They're doing what they love to do. They're happy. They're doing their thing. And I think if I would have pushed or forced that this is the path you need to take or should take, or that I want you to take, I just don't think they'd be as happy. So I'm super excited that they found their own path, like you said, off the payroll.
I'll tell you a funny story. So it wasn't funny, but it's kind of funny now, I guess. But when my kids were younger, I'm a big sports fan. I played basketball, football, baseball, love sports. And when I had my first son was born, it's a boy. It's like, he's going to play sports, you know? And it's like, and so like when he got to that age, it's like, we're going to play sports. He really didn't want to play sports, but I was like, I had this picture of what I wanted him to be. And it was like he had his own personality, his own what he really liked to do, which was not really anything that I really liked to do. So it was a big learning curve for me. It's like, you know, through the years, it's like we tried some of the sports, but I could tell he wasn't happy. And it's like it made me not happy as well. And it was like it's time to let him do what he wants to do. And that's kind of why I look at for his career as well. I can give him guidance, help him, but it's really what is going to make him happy, not necessarily, you know, I'm going to be happy if he's happy. And if he's off the payroll, it makes me even happier. So.
Exactly. That's such a good outlook, because I think there's probably way too many parents out there that, you know, want to live vicariously through their kids, or I love this, so therefore you should love this, or I did this, so of course my kids are going to want to do this. And then they get here and it's like, hello, I was not planning on that. That's a new surprise, but how awesome though, that my husband and I always say that, you know, the biggest thing I think that we're the most proud of is we raised three kids to be whoever they wanted to be. They're three completely different people. They're three completely different likes and dislikes and what they're doing for a living and what they like to eat and everything. But man, they're all happy going down their own path. And I think that's probably what gives us the most pride of anything as a parent. They got to choose. You know, you try to steer. We same with my husband. So we had two daughters and then a son. And the girls actually, you know, our oldest daughter was really good in sports. And so when our son got here, he literally was born with a baseball or a football in his hand. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, that was one of his first gifts. Because my husband was a huge, huge athlete. But and he tried. He gave it the good old try. He loved all sports. He went out for it. Baseball, although my husband played college football and played football his whole life, baseball was his really true love. And so we signed Brandon up like the second you can, I think when they're 3.5 or 4.5 something. And he was a good sport about it because it was fun. But yeah, we could tell he was not. I mean, he was, you know, much rather be like chasing butterflies and playing with his friends down the street than going to baseball practice. So he gave it, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years probably, and then decided that he didn't want to do that. My husband still to this day, he was just telling this story the other day. He's like, that was one of like biggest heartbreakers ever was when your kid decides, but he tried, you know. That's
completely understand. It's a funny story. So my older son, I did sign him up for football. It's like, you're going to try it. I want you to try it. And if you don't like it, that's fine, but we're going to try it. And he was very tall and just, he wasn't overweight, but just big boned. Uh-huh. And so they put him on the line, and when he had his shoulder pads on, all this equipment, he looked big out there. Yeah. And it's like, oh, he's going to be great, you know. And you could just touch him, and he'd fall over, and he'd just like act and just fall on the ground. And it was like, what do you? I mean, it was miserable to watch. It's like I could tell he didn't want to be out there. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you made your point, all right?
Let's go try something.
But you're going to finish the season first, but then.
Yeah, that was always our thing too. If you want to go out for it, I'll sign you up, but you got to stick it through. You don't have to go back out next year, but you got to stick it through. Yeah, I hope that's definitely, and my kids today, I think, would tell you that was probably one of the biggest parenting lessons that they learned from us is you start something, you have to finish it. You owe it to yourself, the coach, your teammates, us.
Yep, exactly.
to be able to do that. So that's awesome. So what other, so you got, you know, going out, going fishing, like you said, sitting in a bonfire. What, now that you're empty nesters, it's a whole different world, which I understand. Do you guys do a little bit more travel now, or does work kind of keep you way too busy to travel for fun?
We do travel, probably not as much as we should. I mean, we're both very busy with our careers. So, you know, weekends or evenings, we've got a boat. We'll go out boating and just to relax, just to get away, or just other activities. You know, but you just go out to dinner, you know, at least once or twice a week as well. So, we don't have to cook or clean up or anything like that, which is nice.
It's the little things in life, right? I was talking to Ryan Kimball not too long ago, and I was telling him that I guess he bought a ranch now and does a lot of work out there when he has time, and that's like his escape now. And I was laughing because I grew up on a farm, like I said, and always my weekends and evenings consisted of helping my dad and my brothers, you know, sort cattle, bale hay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hated every second of it. Could not wait to get off that farm. All my friends lived in town, so they were like going shopping and going to lunch, and I'm, you know, bucking hay and everything. So could not wait to get out of there. Well, fast forward many years later, we live in Columbia, not a huge city, you know, but a city to me from where I'm from. And so my kids all grew up here and then loved the ability to go back to my parents' farm. And somewhere along the line, I started seeing it differently too, like probably through their eyes. Mm-hmm. But what Ryan and I were laughing about is, you know, didn't want anything to do with that as a kid. And now, like, one of my favorite things to do to relax or to get away is to go back to the farm, pick up sticks, build a fire, you know, fish, yep, whatever, that's, you know, build a fence even. That's even fun now because I don't have to do it every weekend. Like my dad, yep, made me do it. But it's so funny, those traditions that you grow up with that you don't even know are becoming traditions that you don't think are something that you want to do. All of a sudden, you blink and, you know, get to be my age. And it's like, oh, dang, that was good. I'm glad I grew up that way. Or I'm glad, yeah, my parents made me do that. But it certainly wasn't that way at the time.
100% agree with you. My my wife's, her parents are from Italy. And growing up, you know, they had all these Italian traditions, which, you know, it was instilled in her, but, you know, it was like, we didn't really practice it as when we had our younger kids until we got, yeah, a little bit older. And then, she lost her mom, you know, a few years ago, but it's like, now we're trying to bring everything back. It's like, you know, we want to continue that tradition for them so they can continue on for their kids as well. But,
well, there's that song again, you know, till you can't. There's so many things that I wish, both of my parents have now passed, and there's so many things I wish I would have asked them, written down. But the one thing my mom and I both were very good about was taking pictures. So I have pictures, you know, of everything that we ever did, more pictures of even my kids and everything that they did together. And so I feel like I have that, you know, kind of presence, if you will, but man, I wish, you know, there's so many cool things that we could have recorded together, or, yep, you know, that I would have asked her. I don't know a lot of the, you know, things about her growing up that I wish I would have asked. I learned after she passed from some of her siblings, but now they're all gone, you know? So you just, it's a good reminder, I guess, to make sure that while we are here, that we're taking advantage of those traditions and learning those traditions and passing those traditions on, because pretty soon you wake up and those are the important things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen, I literally could go on and on and on. I appreciate your time. I think this has been such an amazing conversation, Tim. I always appreciate, seems like we haven't seen each other in a long time. So hopefully we'll get to see each other again soon. And you're always the one that everybody talks about is just such a stand-up guy and such a nice guy, and that's the presence that you bring to any conversation or any meeting or any room you're in. So we appreciate the friendship and partnership all these years, and look forward to many, many more.
Sounds great. Joanne, thank you so much for this opportunity. Again, I'm truly honored to be part yeah. of your podcast too. You're doing something fantastic. I enjoy listening to each and every one of them. So,
oh, well, thank you for saying that. And I know everybody will enjoy this too, and hearing your bits and words of wisdom. So appreciate it. Thank you. And thank everybody. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Joanne.
All right. Thanks.